May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. For centuries, America's top religious affiliation has been Protestant, both mainline and evangelical. In the 1960s, two-thirds of Americans called themselves Protestants. The other day while I was traveling, I picked up a copy of USA Today and learned that this past week, the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life released a study that said that Americans labeling themselves as Protestants slid below 50% for the first time ever, down to 48%. Where did they go? Actually, nowhere. One out of five people now claim no religious identity. This group, called the Nones, spelled N-O-N-E-S, is now the second largest affiliation just after the Catholics, and ahead of the largest single Protestant denomination, the Southern Baptist. As we drill down, we find that 68% of the Nones believe at least somewhat in God or a higher power. 41% say they pray, and 23% consider religion at least somewhat important in their lives. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There are people out there who are hungry for God, for we are the church, and we have work to do. In today's gospel lesson from Matthew, there were no Protestants, no Catholics, no Southern Baptist, no Methodist, and alas, no Episcopalians. The Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life had not yet been formed, but already Jesus cared about the Nones. Jesus not only wanted us to be in communion with him and with God, but he wanted us to be in community and communion with each other, which explains his promise to build his church. It is important to note that the first mention in the Bible of the word church comes in today's gospel. By promising to build his church, Jesus underscored that this new concept of church was in the future and had not yet occurred. We had to wait until Pentecost for that. But at this point in the gospel, Jesus didn't wait to share the blueprints for his church. His dialogue with his disciples, and particularly Peter, emphasized the utter necessity of a strong foundation upon which to build. As often was the case, Jesus made his point by first asking a question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Jesus then goes deeper to the heart of the matter when he asks, but who do you say that I am? You have to love Peter. This imperfect yet blessed individual immediately responds, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus knows that Peter received this revelation directly from God and then says, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. For me, the rock is not Peter per se, but the rock is Peter's declaration that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The construction of Christ's church has continued through time and continues today when each of us declares, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This response of faith makes each part of us the universal church. A church that is built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ and is strengthened through all of its believers. By professing our belief in Jesus Christ and through God's grace, we are tied eternally to each other. The declaration that we are the church means nothing in the present if there is no everlasting future. In trying to truly grasp the concept of the everlasting future, I'm reminded of the words of author Henry Miller when he wrote, "We live at the edge of the miraculous, for we are the church." As we look to the future through the blessed assurance of Jesus, what are we being asked to do to build the church here and now? For me, I see Jesus wanting to strengthen us inwardly through him, so we will be equipped to serve others outwardly, and in turn learn and grow through the love of others. Then we are all drawn together as the body of Christ, for we are the church. When I think of strengthening myself inwardly through Christ, I especially like the passage in the 6th chapter of Mark when Jesus said to his disciples, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and the disciples did not even have time to eat. Jesus fully realizes that no one can go a mile a minute all the time, though we try. We all need time to rest and to rejuvenate ourselves. Time alone allows us to grow inwardly in our faith through intentional prayer time, reading scripture and books on our faith, times of solitude, and simply listening for the still small voice of God and discerning where God is leading us. Marcus Borg, in his book, Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, refers to our Christian life as a journey of transformation as we continue to grow in our relationship and companionship with Jesus. Borg also says that by holding the Spirit, we are being changed into the likeness of Christ. To journey with Jesus means listening to his teaching, sometimes understanding it, sometimes not just quite getting it. That journey is in his company, in his presence. There is joy in his presence. As we are more intentional in our faith and our prayer life, we are able to experience more depth in our relationship with Jesus. Still, each of us will always be a work in progress. Or to paraphrase Robert Frost, "And we have miles to go before we sleep, and miles to go before we sleep. For we are the church." By nurturing ourselves inwardly through Christ, we are ready to serve others outwardly and receive the love of others in return. Jesus built his church so we could grow together and learn from each other in the faith. My wife, Suzanne, and I have been members of a small study group known as the Monday Night Connecting with God group. Currently, there are 8 of us, and you are welcome to join us. Over the last 5 years, through different study books and videos, we have explored our faith, learned a lot about the Bible and each other, asked a lot of questions, searched for answers, enjoyed great potluck suppers, laughed a lot, prayed for each other, and overall grown as members of Christ's church. A number of other small groups have formed over the past few years here at St. Francis, and we're looking to start others. If you're not yet involved in a small group, I would encourage you to consider joining one, for we are the church. Through this parish, our community of believers we are able to strengthen one another, pray together, and help disciple one another. By being fed together at St. Francis and growing in spiritual maturity, we are also equipped to go out the church door into the world to be Christ's church. We have the opportunity each and every day to share the love and joy of Christ in our daily interactions with those we come in contact with at work, the grocery store, on airplanes, in our neighborhoods, and beyond. I'm not suggesting we all go out and preach to everyone, but we can share our faith through the way in which we approach others and how we listen to them. You never fully realize how powerful an impact you can have upon others by treating them in a loving and respectful manner and in being open to them and in responding as Christ leads. As St. Francis of Assisi used to say to his newly ordained friars, go out and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. For we are the church. For over a year, I've had the privilege of co-facilitating a church program for the deacons in our diocese. These are amazing people whose focus is on connecting the ministry of the church to a world in need. They serve as chaplains in hospitals and group homes for youth, minister to the homeless and to those in prison, and serve in parishes, schools, local organizations, and on and on. A couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the many different roles we're asked to take on. After discussing all of our family, church, and work roles, one of our deacons said that as he has gotten older, he has been led to be a presence, not a force, in the lives of others. What a great way to be. It conveys openness and availability, a non-judgmental attitude, and the promise of unconditional love and support. Let us deliberately choose to be a presence in the lives of others. In so doing, we will strengthen the bonds of Christ's church, for we are the church. By growing in Christ both inwardly and outwardly through supporting each other, we are drawn together and made more than we would be alone in the presence of God. As the church, we declare that Jesus is the Christ, and we live that out intentionally. That's what separates the nuns from the sons. Today, we're beginning a new program called We Are the Church. It is an effort by our leadership to help each of us grow more intentional in our faith and in our membership in the body of Christ here at St. Francis. As Christ's church, we truly experience God's presence here at the altar by sharing and receiving through faith Christ's body and blood at the Holy Eucharist. In so doing, as it says in our Book of Common Prayer, we receive forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our union with Christ and one another, and the foretaste of the heavenly banquet, which is our nourishment in eternal life. When you receive Eucharist today and hear the words, the body of Christ, say confidently to yourself, we are and I am, for we are the church. Amen.